Item three, which is the comprehensive development of a very large site on Java Road. The proponent here is Sunrun Kai, through one of their subsidiaries. Is there anybody wish to declare interest dealing with this particular developer? And also, I think, Peter, you may need to, as your part of the, or your firm is part of the team advising the proponent. Anybody else wish to declare interest? Need to declare interest? Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Happy New Year. Kumhei Fat Choi. Quite a team. We have Choice Win, the proponent, Mr. Edmund Sin. Then we have Inyam Development as well, Simon Wong and Joe Lam. We have Ronald Liu, represented by Kelvin Ip, Lemon Cheng, Bella Fan. We have Urbis, represented by Alan McDonald and Janice Lowe. And we have LD Asia, represented by Winnie Chu and Michelle Chan. I've asked members to declare interest, so we've dealt with that aspect. Who is going to brief us on the proposal?
I'm going to start, Mr. Chairman, and my colleagues from Ronald Liu will then go into the architectural scheme. So I'm just going to introduce it generally to you. So if I
welcome to all of you then. Can we try and do it in, I'd like to reserve as much time as we can for discussion. It's quite a major scheme and I think we'll provoke some debate. So maybe 10, 12 minutes maximum.
Could you give us 20?
15. Deal done. 15 minutes. Okay.
All right. I'll put the accelerator pedal on.
Okay. Please. Here thank you.
Okay. Very briefly, the presentation outline goes like this. We have a look at the site context. We then look at the architectural aspects. We then go on to look at the urban design framework, and I'll then address the urban design landscape proposals. Very important for this one, I think, is the visual assessment, because it is at a very prominent place. And then, of course, as you just mentioned, the discussions. Okay, the site context. As I say, look, it's really at a core point in the harbour. We recognise this. The schemes that we've devised for this particular site have given great cognizance of the location. Looking at the local site context, obviously we have a lot of constraints to address. We have the Island Eastern Corridor. We have a huge PTI that sprawls across the site at the present time. We've had to address condensing that on the overall site. And then you can see the context of the development edge that is around the perimeter of the site. Looking at the plethora of architectural styles that we have at the edge there, it's a bit of a mishmash of developments. And clearly the vehicular ferry pier and the IEC are quite brutalistic structures in themselves. And we have the North Point Ferry Pier adjacent to it and some lovely 1970s municipal services buildings. I think one thing that's worth bringing out is there's a very significant difference between the current statutory planning framework and that of the brief. The brief and the lease conditions prevail in this particular site. And that's not so bad, actually, because what actually happens is that we get a better scheme as a result of that in many respects. But as you can see on the right, the development concept under the planning brief takes the development right up to the peripheral edge of the site, adjacent to where the public promenade's going to be. We don't think that's a good thing, and you'll see when the architecture's explained to you why that is the particular case. So if we go on now to describe the architecture, and I'll come back to you looking at the urban design and landscape aspects.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman and members. So this is the master layout plan for the developments. This is the application of the C-Day site boundaries, and which encompasses a 20 meters wide promenade along the harbors. And this is the lot boundaries, the development lot boundaries. As the site coverage will not be more than 60% for the buildings. So we have tried to set back a major portion of the buildings away from the lot boundaries in order that we can provide a very ample open spaces which can unify and integrate fully with the promenade. And for the buildings, we have tried to split into two portions, the western portions and the eastern portion. For the western portion, the podium mainly comprises the commercial activities, including the F&B outlets and retails. And besides, there is a very outstanding GIC complex, which is of a GFA of over 5,000 square meters, located at a very prominent corner position here, so which is right facing the Piazza space, leading also to the existing North Point Ferry Piers. On the eastern side, which mainly accommodates the podium, mainly accommodates the covered PTI, which is a relocated one from the existing ones, and some commercial activities along Java Road to make the streetscape more vibrant. And at the podium roof levels is mainly the podium landscape for the enjoyment of the residents and also the ancillary recreational facilities. And for the tower portion, the residential portion, we have currently proposed 10 towers altogether, with 4 at the western portion and 6 above the eastern portion, all arranged in a crescent form manner, as if they are embracing the ample open spaces in front and also the harbour beyond. Looking at the schematic floor plans, this is the ground floors. As I've just said, for the western portion, the orange color mainly denotes the commercial activities, and the blue one is the GIC complex, which mainly accommodates a community hall. And for the eastern portion, this is the PTI, mainly the PTI, and we have some sort of commercial activities at ground level along Java Road. For the first and second floor of the western portion, the accommodations mainly accommodates similar functions, such as the commercial activities and the GICs. And for the eastern portion, as the PTI needs to have a very high headrooms, this is mainly the upper part of the PTIs. So come up to the podium floors. The green denotes the podium landscaping areas, and the blue one is the recreational facilities for the enjoyment of the residents and the occupiers. And the red ones actually is the circulation, the lobbies, and that sort of areas. So regarding the tower portions, it's a crescent form for the 10 towers, arranged in a linear arrangement. So come to the sections. This section is actually prepared as view from the harbour side. So this one is the eastern portion, and this one is the western portion. So you can see that all the basement car parks, including the coach parkings, are all located at basements. All located at basements. And in addition to the podiums, retail activities, and the PTI and those sort of things, you can see that for the tower portion, in addition to the crescent form on plans, we have actually tried to make a very substantial stepping profile in the east-west directions, with the lowest tower at 50 MPD and the highest towers at 80 MPD. So we hope that this could give a very dynamic interesting skyline to the developments. So for comparative purpose, we have also prepared a notional scheme here, which basically conform to strictly the planning brief. We have two strips of buildings. One strip of buildings is at the northern portion at 50 MPD, and it's right abutting the promenade, and with the rear portion at 80 MPD, which is right abutting the Java Road. And you can see from this comparison that for the notional scheme, the open space, the public open space within the developments is quite fragmented due to the two strips of buildings. However, in our case, we have set back a major portion of our building clusters. So we have a very united and very integrated piece of public open space for enjoyment of the publics. You can see from also the artist's impression here. So this is the ample open space. And this one just have some sort of very fragmented ones located within the building clusters. And here you can see a blow up. So there's a seamless connection between the promenade and our POS within the lot boundaries. Another views. You can see from here that the commercial activities here, which include F&B outlets, alfresco dinings, and also retail facilities, can actually activate. They are located right abutting the POS, so they could actually activate and make the POS and the promenade very vibrant. So we are also going to provide very lush plantings and greeneries along the whole promenade and also the POS. At the moment, we could achieve at least 20% of greeneries at the POS. This one shows a three-dimensional view of the stepping profile of the buildings. And in addition to the stepping profile on sections, you can also see that we have tried to turn the facade of the towers in the oblique angles, such that we also have a stepped tower facade to make the building more interesting and to break down the massings. We have also provided quite substantial visual and air corridors and gaps between the building clusters. You can see that we have altogether five very substantial ones linking between the harbour and the hinterland. And of course, these air gaps could enhance the urban wind environments. And as a study, we have actually carried out AVA assessments. And for the baseline model, which is combined with the planning brief, the figures here, SVR and LVR, is the data generated from the AVA for the base scheme. And you can see that the higher the figures, the better is the ventilation performance. So in our case, you can see both the SVR and the LVR are both better than the notional scheme, the base scheme, in accordance with the planning brief. As talked by Alan before, both the island eastern corridors and Java Road are two major noise sources affecting our developments. So you can see that our developments actually have a very ample attenuation distances between the noise sources and the noise sensitive receivers from both the northern and the southern directions, which is not possible when we have two strips of buildings right abutting the promenade and right abutting the Java Road. So this is a very sensible solution to resolve the problems. Another point is that about the GIC, you can see that there's an image here. We have tried to make the GIC complex a very outstanding and iconic ones at the corner position here, and it's facing the PSR space linking with the ferry piers. So we hope that this iconic GIC complex can further enhance and activate the open space.
Thanks.
Right, I'm going to whisk through here to the end so we can meet our time schedule. So urban design framework. Clearly there's a lot of guiding principles that affect the harbour. I'm not going to go through all of these, but clearly the parameters circumscribe the sort of development that government and indeed yourselves are looking for at the harbour. We have town planning board guidelines, looking for vibrancy at the harbour, the urban design guidelines, which circumscribe some of the things that have just been said in terms of visual porosity and air circulation, and indeed stepped height profile. We believe that in our scheme we've achieved all these and achieved them well. At the same time, the Harbourfront Commission, your key areas of concern are down there in the bottom left-hand side of the screen here. You're looking at sustainable development, proactive harbour, for example, and most importantly, an accessible harbour that has physically good, strong linkages to the hinterland and indeed to the harbourfront itself. The other parameter that we've had to take into account was the Hong Kong Island East Harbourfront study, which also had a few proposals. Essentially, they were looking at the enhancement of the overall harbour area. And it was interesting to hear what you had to say earlier before we came into the meeting about the options for the boardwalk within the area. We are looking at integrating the scheme with the boardwalk should that actually proceed. And clearly, hopefully, under the CEDD schemes, the piers themselves will be enhanced. And we believe they will integrate and form part of the overall scheme as a comprehensive development. This shows a visualization which clearly demonstrates the stepped height profile from the south to the north. The building development just fits in so nicely. You can see it relates very well to the heights of developments there, and the relationships are very, very strong. The building height cascades down to the east and also demonstrates a stepped height profile down from the south. And then moving in closely, you can see the respective building heights there and the manner in which the development heights cascade down from the west down to the east. This has already been explained, but it does demonstrate the cascading nature of the building heights that we have within the site. Maintaining visual permeability, that has been a major thing. I'm just going to show you in a minute the visual impact assessment that we've done to show that really the key connections through to the waterfront are well maintained in a visual sense. And then the connectivity, we have maintained the connections and enhanced them in the overall schemes and in developing landscape. But also you'll see in the central blue line that goes through the site, we're also proposing a link through the development to the waterfront, which will enhance connectivity to and from the waterfront and provide a firm connection between the hinterland and the waterfront, because there is a danger in such developments that you don't provide connectivity to the waterfront, and we're ensuring that this happens in the context of this scheme. Looking at the physical linkage, you can see the enhancement measures that we've set out here. I'll address the landscape scheme in just a minute. But the most important thing, as was said by my colleague here, is that the Java Road edge is going to be enhanced. You're going to have a whole retail edge there, which is going to make a great difference to the regeneration of Java Road. At the moment, it's a dull, soulless space with not pretty architecture along it. So this will make a vast difference to the visual appearance. And by planting along this edge, that will soften the edges. At the same time, as has been explained, we're activating the waterfront by F&B outlets, by retail facing the waterfront, which again will have the effect of introducing the potential for vibrancy at the waterfront. As I say, we're well integrated with the schemes there. I don't know if it's going to turn like the scheme at the bottom, but the boardwalk can be well connected into the scheme as we have it, and the connections are there to be able to afford that to happen. Now, in terms of the landscape concept, we have taken the form of a wave and the droplet. The wave is simply articulating the shape and form of the landscape that's provided within the waterfront. We have greening requirements, as you heard, 20% has to be achieved. So we have this greening requirements. The existing tree regime is not good. Some of the species there are diseased. We have to remove those, and then we will introduce new compensatory planting and additional planting. The droplet is a device that serves to direct people towards the ferry piers. As you will probably notice, the alignment of the connections to the waterfront and are not directly to the ferry piers. So the droplet physically directs people to the center of each of the ferry piers. So in form, you get an arrangement like this, a wave-like pattern of landscape articulating a clear form at the waterfront, leading into the public open spaces within the development itself, and strong circulation networks. So the principal circulation space is clearly the promenade, and then supplemented by the other open spaces and the circulation routes that permeate the area, with strong greening around the entire periphery of the site. Now, at one edge, clearly we have to put the PTI, this is a requirement of the brief, that we have to put the PTI within structure. So clearly we need to soften that at each edge of the PTI. So we're looking at trellis arrangements of vertical greening to enhance the edges of the development and soften its overall impact. Peripheral planting in the form of trees and low-rise shrub planting will also be provided at the other peripheral edges. Horizontal greening will be a combination of rich tree planting, and it will take the sort of themes that we have here. Overall, the master plan provides various facilities. We have to re-provide certain facilities that are currently there. So we have the dog park. We have to re-provide that. We've done that on a like-for-like basis. We will be providing new shelters that will be really reflective of the quality of the architecture we're proposing. New seating, two exercise stations provided, one for the elderly and one for younger persons. Now, very importantly, the visual assessment. We have discussed with planning departments where we should be taking these visual assessments from, and we've agreed certain positions. I'll just run very quickly through these. But I think the great thing is that you can see that the application site fits in terms of its scale and massing well into the existing fabric and complements the existing fabric and is hardly imperceptible from Hong Kong Promenade. The same applies from Tsim Sha Tsui Promenade. The site the development on the site is barely perceptible. And the same also from Kwun Tong Promenade. It fits in. It just slots in nicely in terms of its scale. Now, the acid test was to have a look at what would happen down the key visual corridors. The the visualization on the left shows the situation, and the visualization on the right is after. So really nothing much in the pedestrian realm that you would actually see a major change. The same applies looking at the intersection of Marlborough Road and Cam Hong Road, where the building just simply pops out slightly, but does not interfere with the overall perception down the view corridor. And then finally, the view from King's Road Playground, again, the development does not intrude visually into the overall site, which may have been the case with the reference scheme that we had to work with at the outset. So in overview, we feel that we have a fairly sustainable development that meets greening requirements. We also have proactive harbour enhancement. The arrangement and disposition of development and the uses that we have within this development, we feel will serve to enhance the overall harbourfront and indeed the urban hinterland adjacent to Java Road. We work as a collective in this particular endeavour. The architects, landscape architects and so on, the planning teams, have worked together with the client to come up with a comprehensively integrated scheme which we feel will enhance the overall promenade areas and really create something that's of major benefit to this area at a very important site. Most importantly, we're giving something to the public. It's a harbourfront and a development for public enjoyment. And then, most importantly also, is that the public can access the harbour because we are providing physical linkages and indeed linkages through the development that the public will be able to access. So that concludes our presentation. Thank you very much, and we'd be pleased to discuss any matters with you. Thank you.
Alan, thank you. Thank you, thank you to your colleague as well. I'll throw it open to the meeting in a minute, and just a reminder, I don't think we all should turn into designers. This is all about harbour planning principles. So please confine your comments if you can, or focus your comments on the scheme from a waterfront perspective, waterfront enhancement perspective. I'm sure you all potentially have views on other aspects, but I think this is all about how harbour and harbour planning principles. What I suggest that we do, Alan, is we'll tally up the questions, and then if you deal with them on block in a minute. A couple of questions from me, just for clarification. First of all, you show the public open space and you show the promenade. I'm assuming that A, you're going to obviously design and implement that. Is the proponent also going to maintain the, obviously you maintain the public open space, is it proposed that the proponent should also maintain the promenade once it's been implemented? Question one from me. Question two, just a bit of clarification on the GIC. I know it's a requirement under the brief, but what sort of GIC are you contemplating within the site? And then just thirdly, maybe we can have a brief discussion around dog parks. We've had quite a lot of discussion about dogs and dog parks within the commission already. I think I'd like to know a little more about the dog park you're proposing here, because it will eat into public access to some degree, if you like. So those would be 3 points from me. Members, questions, observations, please.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask the team to give us some more information about the north-south connectivity, especially about pedestrian access to the waterfront. And the second thing is I noticed that the team has made efforts in preserving the visual corridor along the roads from, in the north-south direction. But how about along the site? Is any consideration given to what the buildings, existing buildings, could, the views from the buildings to the harbourfront? Thank you.
All right. Pedestrian connectivity and visual impact again. Yes. Please. Please go.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Chairman. Two questions, and I noticed that the Java Road the Transport Department haven't asked for to widen the Java Road at this occasion. Java Road is quite congested and narrow now, and this is a very good opportunity to widen the road and to relieve the traffic. And look at this development, it kept over nearly 300 private car parking space, and then you got codes and so on. And the traffic on that area will require to be worsened, and I don't know why we don't take opportunity to widen it. The second thing is the building, although looks, according to the design, they should have air through between the building, but from the figure now you look at it, it's just like a screen in front of the building behind. To me, this is totally not acceptable. Could the tower between can leave a bigger gap? At least leave some viewing from the building behind. At the moment, I if you look at it purely from drawing or from this photo, is blocking the total blocking the view behind. So I don't think this is acceptable to me. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, so traffic and again visual impact. Paul?
First of all, I'd like to go back to our discussion before all of this land was sold, is that from a Harbourfront Commission we had asked for the design of the piers and the site to be integrated by one developer and have one proposal, and I see a proposal here basically that kind of leaves the piers on one site and leave it to somebody else. It also looks to me entirely disconnected. But if I look at the plan, I see the MTR station on the west, the PTI on the east, and the piers on the west. And I just wonder how somebody's going to maneuver between the PTI and the MTR, and between the PTI and the piers, and between the MTR and the piers. I mean, if I try to figure out pedestrian flow between those three transport elements, I don't feel comfortable that I see something that has maximized the opportunity in terms of transport interchange, and minimizing the transfers and the transfer penalty is not minimized here by, to me it almost looks like the PTI is on the wrong side of the site, that it should be on the short end between the piers and the MTR, so it connects all more seamlessly. So I think, so that would be an immediate observation. The disconnect between the piers, the top decks of the piers are going to be developed, but they're not, you know, people, that doesn't seem to connect with the property, which I think is in a way a shame as well, maybe. So I'd like to see that coming together. On the, can we be very specific about public space? Can we have a plan showing exactly the areas designated for public space? Can we also have a plan showing very clearly the areas which are going to be designated for outdoor seating? And the reason why I mention that is from my experience with Linked Plaza in Stanley, the ability to put seating on non-built area, on public open space that is under the private development, and on public open spaces on government land, there are quite some problems in getting the public seating approved on any of these facilities and having that properly organized. If you try to do that afterwards, it's much better to very clearly identify and the exact designation of the seating areas so that nobody's surprised and the issues can be dealt with in advance. So you don't have it today, but I know you see some indication of where it could be, but it doesn't appear to me that those are necessarily areas that can be approved. I'm not clear where the EVA is at the front of the building, and if there is any EVA where you would have no seating, and I think we've got to be clear on that. The PTI perimeter is entirely without retail, and despite your efforts to put a bit of greening on the wall, it's a dead wall. So between the PTI and the waterfront, there is no activity generation, which to me is questionable whether there should be actually some retail built in the perimeter one way or another, to make sure that that the activity continues on along the promenade, not just only in the section immediately in front of the piers. I agree with my neighbour here that it would be good if we can improve the porosity of the buildings. It's a bit screened, whether there can be some more gaps between those blocks by separating them slightly, so to even though the corridors might be small, that there are at least some peeping holes through the building for people behind it. Those on dogs, Chairman, I mentioned dog garden. Again, we have the problem here that LCSD tells everybody that you can only have dogs in dog gardens, and those dog gardens are only for dogs. I think we've got to make sure that we are very clear where are people allowed to walk with their dog. you know, in this whole area. I think we've got to see a plan clearly showing the area where you are allowed to walk with your dog. Because if I understand, two of the roads are public roads, so that means I can walk along those roads with my dog. And then the other road might be a non-built area, so I'm not allowed to walk with my dog unless permitted. And the waterfront is in the LCSD, so I can't walk with my dog. And then so it's completely unclear to anybody in entering this area with all these open spaces, where am I allowed to walk with my dog? And I think that you got to be very clear about that, where people are allowed to walk with their dog, at least on a leash. And that there are cleaning facilities provided, and that dog gardens are specific areas where you can take your dog off the leash, which is a different definition than the LCSD definition. But I think we've got to, again, see a plan maybe after this meeting clearly identifying this, so we don't have an end of later on with problems, because there's a lot of people living in the area with dogs. The final point, Chairman, I use this road all the time, especially late in the evening when I go back home. This is the major Hong Kong Island coach cross-border coach facility. Mm. And I don't see anything. This area is where they park right outside. We have a very high share of the population here from mainland, our recent immigrants from mainland China. This is the major Mandarin-speaking community of Hong Kong here in North Point. This is where the coach parking takes place for cross-border. They are in the road. They double parked. I don't see any facilities for it. Either you're going to be standing in front of your lay-by entering the entering the property. I mean, I think that we have a problem here, and it may be that it's in the planning brief that Transport Department is just not dealing with it. It says that we have coach parking in the facility for the facility, but we don't have coach parking as a facility for cross-border coaches to arrive to drop off passengers and pick up passengers. And if we don't going to provide that for it, government got to be very clear before this project proceeds, where will those coaches be? Where will they pick up and drop off, and where will they wait? Where will the machine, the vehicle wait without dropping and pick up? It is different, because drop off and pick up has to be at ground level. It can't be underground, but coaches could technically be parked underground as long as you don't do boarding and enlightening of passengers. So I think we're going to get some clarity on that, because I think we're completely missing that. This is the coast parking area, and I don't see anything in the brief to this. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we'll draw a line at the first round of questions there. Alan, quite a lot to address. I mean, some you may want to take away, but anything, any immediate reaction on particularly the points about the PTI and trying to integrate the different transportation modes, clear definition of public open space, dogs again as you gather, and the whole future of coaches in the area. Has that been discussed?
Okay, yeah. Let me try and address most of these. Clearly, we had a restricted amount of time to go through the whole presentation. There's a lot more we could have said, obviously. I think we can answer probably most of your questions. And we can provide the additional plans that have been mentioned. Not a problem. We can send those to you later. What I'll do is I'll start, and then I'll let my colleague answer some of the architectural questions.
Fine.
As regards to the promenade, what the requirement is that we will design, implement the promenade, and then hand it back to LCSD. That is the requirement within the lease. Okay. The public open the private open space adjacent to the promenade will be maintained by the developer. The dog park, I'm sorry about the dog park, it's a requirement of the brief. It's a like-for-like reprovisioning. It's designed as the present dog park, but better.
Where is it? Can you just show us?
It's located. It's just located adjacent to the PTI. There's various reasons for this, but we felt it was the most innocuous place that we could probably put it. At the present time, it's over in the western part of the site. We've relocated it to the eastern part of the site. It will have a peripheral wall around it. I mean, I hear what Paul says about the dog park. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but these things are popular, and we have been required to actually provide it. And it is a big facility. The facility we provide will not be the hard space that the current dog park is. It'll be a soft space, but clearly we have to be careful about things like planting and so on, because clearly dogs do what they do. So, you know, we have to be careful there. North-south access and connectivity. Look, we've really paid particular attention to this. I mean, there's not just the major conduits, but we have got connections through the development, wherever we possibly can make them, to enhance the connectivity. And to be quite honest, it's in our interest to ensure that this occurs. It's very, very important that that occurs. So we are certainly looking at that. And in terms of transport widening road, well, clearly that is somebody else's issue. We've never been required to look at road widening. It's a very tight site as it is. It would mitigate against some of the great things that we've been able to achieve if we had to take into account the widening of the road. In terms of the GIC, sorry I missed that, we've got a whole schedule of stuff to be provided, ranging from a public toilet, integrated family service, a childcare centre, a daycare centre for the elderly, a community hall of not less than 1,260. So when we say it's an iconic development, it's a major development as well, because there is a lot of facilities included within it. The widening of the building for more gaps, I'll let my colleague answer that one. Integration with the piers, yes, of course we'd like to see that, but the way that the piers work at the present time, you get up to the piers by going going underneath the IEC and then up a series of steps to the upper level. It's quite tricky to actually plug into the development, particularly when you've got areas of open space and another administration to be able to deal with in doing that. We can have a look at perhaps how we might enhance that, but clearly we have to know what's going on with the IEC boardwalk before we can really be definitive in terms of the proposals that are going on there. And I'm not sure how far the CDD study is going. In terms of connectivity, the issue that Paul raised in terms of movement to the MTR, one thing I didn't mention, and I should have mentioned, is that there is a proposal to make a connection across Java Road to the site in a tunnel connecting with an existing exit. That's at the western end of the site, which will then allow you to circulate directly to the major ferry pier that's in operation where the fish market is currently. The walking distance to the PTI is no great distance whatsoever. It's a few metres, really, and it's well within the 500 metres walking distance that is normally required to public transport. So we feel that the connections for public transport are adequate. In terms of the EVA, you can see on the image that's on screen that the EVA, my colleague's just indicating it now, runs through this area. And we have provision along the waterfront for circulation as well for emergency vehicles. We have an issue at the waterfront because the loading that we're permitted right by the sea wall is rather limited, and we cannot put heavy loading on that. We can, as you've requested, put an indication on plan of areas of public and private open space. That's not an issue. Now, if you want to see where the seating areas are, that's fine. Generally speaking, we've done a like-for-like reprovisioning, but we have reprovisioned some of the seating areas, and they are more than generous, and at least they're all going to look of a similar style, not like at the moment where there's a whole plethora of styles along the waterfront. I hear what you say about the PTI dead wall, but I don't think that applies on certainly some of the southern side. We've tried to soften the edges where possible, but clearly a PTI is a difficult thing to deal with, and the architectural inform will be refined, but it is a very tight development. I would say that it's very tight to get this, but it's a vast improvement of what's actually there right now. If you go there right now, all you will see is a wall of buses. You know, you don't see the harbour. So at least we've actually condensed everything within the eastern portion of the site, not far from the other transport links and other bus routes that are there, and it is forms a condensed, comprehensive development linked to the other transport systems. Okay, the dogs, where they can be walked and so on, well, okay. I mean, they obviously go into the public area. I don't really know if a plan is actually really required for that. I don't think dogs are actually part of our brief. As regards the coach parking, yes, we do make provision for the coach parking, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that, but there is major coach parking provided in the basement, as well as provision for pick-up and drop-off. So that has been provided for. Yeah, we are very conscious of the fact, because we've been out on site, we've had a look several times at what is actually going on site, and have tried to accommodate all the factors that are actually on site at the present time and the problems that they create. So what we're trying to do is get the problems off the street and have a comprehensive development that actually serves to create a really interesting waterfront.
What is the scale of coach parking in the development?
I haven't got that figure in front of me. But
how many coaches?
20.
20, I see.
30, sorry. 30. We agreed, 30.
30, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Are you getting any other points?
Ronald Liu, want to say anything? The architect?
No.
Do you want to say anything, the architect? Any responses from the architect?
Oh, sorry. Regarding the building gaps, actually, this site is we have a very substantial constraints from the traffic noise. It's really a very big problem to us. The IEC is actually a very noisy road, a very noisy viaduct, and surprisingly, even for the Java road, it's also a very major noise sources. So actually, we are facing the noise sources from both directions to our developments. So we have actually not many choices to configure the whole residential towers. So actually our current scheme has actually balanced all the different factors and have tried the best to widen the building gaps between the different tower blocks. So you can see that actually we have already provided very substantial gaps between the two clusters. This building gaps is actually 17 meters, larger than the 15 meters as required under the SBD guidelines. And on the western edge of the tower blocks from the boundaries, this gap is actually 27 meters, over 25, in fact. So it's another very substantial building separation from the adjoining developments. And together with this existing street, the Dingjiu Gai, Tingshu Street, so we have provided three very large and substantial building gaps between and linking the hinterland and the harbourfront. So in addition, we also appreciate the problem of the tower clusters. So that's why we have tried to maximize the gaps. So between these two clusters, we have already provided an over 5 meters building gaps between the buildings and as well as here. So altogether, we have 5 building gaps between. So it's difficult for us to further squeeze the frontage because if we have certain frontages facing to the noise sources at the rear side, we cannot achieve the required compliance rate. So actually, we have tuned the scheme in various configurations, and this is the best options we could derive based on the current constraints. This already is a big improvement to the notional scheme where we have two strips of buildings and enclosing the public open space and within the building mass. I think once we have new developments, there should be certain sort of effect to the laboring developments. And what we're trying to do is to try to minimize the effect. And I think our scheme is actually optimizing such requirements. And you can also see that. Sorry, I need to find the slide, sorry. Yes, this one. And you can see that actually our building height generate from 50 MPD to the highest 80 MPD. Why we choose 80 MPD here? Because there's already a very high tower blocks, the island lodge of over 160. So this is very high buildings. So we think that it is sensible to locate the highest blocks of our developments to just near this high buildings, as well as the existing tower buildings. But you can see that for the remaining areas behind our building blocks, there's actually not much developments. And also, there's only custom headquarters, the GIC developments, from near the eastern edge. And also, you can see that this piece of land is actually low-rise GICs. And this will not affect any wheels at all. And you could also see that our buildings also, we've tie in with the future building height of the hotel towers of the adjoining hotel site, which is at the MPD. So that's why we have a little bit higher buildings for the 10th tower at the far end of the western portions. Thank you.
Just a couple of questions from me, and then we will circulate again. Has there been any discussion about noise barriers along the IEC? Because that would have a major beneficial impact, wouldn't it? And they'd give you more flexibility. That's one question. And secondly, the choice of stepping, I presume, is yours. If you weren't to step, presumably we could look at higher buildings and potentially more space at both ground level and with it between the towers. What is the height limit that's laid down by the planning authority?
Yeah. 80. MPD is the height.
So you could build to
Could build high, actually. So that's why we have actually cut down a substantial portion of the buildings to.
By cutting down, you increase the horizontal spread, don't you?
Yeah, but that has a negative effect because we've got a profile here that's like an organ pipe, and it's quite interesting. You have the two focal buildings reflecting, as just been said, the higher rise building there. And what we've tried to do is to create real visual interest, not simply by stepping down to the harbour, but also stepping either side to make it a really exciting, visually interesting development. As regards barriers and the IEC, well, I mean, the intervention there would be very, very significant indeed, and I don't know if it's technically possible to be able to do it. We haven't had a look at that, but what we've tried to do in doing this, as we've said in our presentation, is to set the development back so that we have generous open space at the waterfront, which is according to your principles, is to provide decent areas of open space to which the public can access, but also to angle the developments themselves so that we do not have our facades directly facing onto the noise source.
Yeah.
So this is very, very important. And I think we've done the best in terms of what we can in terms of the very strict parameters. You've seen the notional scheme that was provided for the planning brief. I mean, the contrast is very, very significant with what we've been able to achieve. And I think we've come up with a strong scheme that achieves a lot more and actually much more usable open space for the general public.
Okay, thank you. Other comments? Please. Yes, please.
Yeah. Chairman, I still don't happy with that sort of Mueller effect of these towers. I think the chairman already pointed out clearly that there is no requirement for a stepped tower profile. So they can neither reduce the size of each tower and let more gap. My concern is those people on the ground level and also lower on the street level in Java Road and also those living at the lower floor along Java Road. I would like to see a bigger gap between tower to let more sunshine and also air to the ground level or along Java Road. So I don't agree what the project team saying that they have done the best design. I think that's the worst design. They just help the developer to maximize the sea view and get the best from the site. I don't think they take the public and also fulfill our principle to let the general public still has a view to the harbor. So I don't think this is acceptable. And also I not agree with that they can. I don't know why the government, I think this is I should blame transport department, don't ask for widening the Java Road. Because there's a major road in the North Pond and don't take that opportunity to widen the road to let at least some, for example, dual pathway and so on along Java Road. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Can I answer that, Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yeah, please do. Thank you.
I think you're wrong there, actually, because we are required to have a articulated profile on an east-west alignment. There should be, under the provisions of Site B, there should be a 30-metre difference in building height from the west to the east. So that is actually a provision that we've had to respond to. In terms of views...
Yes, so that's a provision of the brief?
Yes,
or?
Correct.
Okay,
yes. Secondly, in terms of the views from the residential sites, well, in fact, this is not solid residential here. There's a residential here, here, and here. And what we've tried to do is to position the gaps in the development so that vistas are allowed from these particular developments so that they are not blocked up. I don't want to say that in Hong Kong you're never guaranteed that your view is going to be there, but we have all tried through the development of this scheme and the impositions placed on us by the brief and the lease to respond in the best way we possibly can. In terms, going back to your requirements of Java Road, I'm sorry, but that's outside our remit, but I think you'd have to take that up with Transport Department if you seriously want to go with it. But clearly we have a development allowance that we have to make on this particular site, and that's what we've tried to do.
Thank you. Please.
Thank you. Just a point of detail. Can you help me visualize what is actually going to happen on the western edge? There appears to be a drainage reserve, and you have shown a clump of trees, and then the next door, some tentative hotel development, perhaps by others. So on ground level, what is going to happen actually? Would there be a wall or whatever? Because it is a major entrance point to your site and the promenade from if coming from the western side. So that space is very large. It could have been put to the very use, meaningful use if properly designed. What is going to happen? Would there be a wall right. or what?
Okay, let's stack the questions up, can we? That's question one, please. Paul?
Yeah, okay, so I'll buy the argument that ground-level circulation is going to be very important because we IEC blocks elevated-level circulation between the piers and the development. So if it's ground-level plane where the main circulation is going to be, then I think we've got to see a little bit better what that circulation is going to look like. And what part of that circulation then for pedestrians will be shaded and sheltered from weather? Because otherwise later on the district council will place plastic covered, steel framed walk corridors through your site, which is not going to be very good. So if the main transits are going to be between the pier, the MTR station, the PTI and the retail, then I think that circulation, there's got to be an option for people to be shaded. And there's got to be an option for people to be sheltered. And currently we don't see we see that clearly here. So I think that is I'm happy that it's ground level, of course. The MTR tunnel, if that's going to be a main entrance, so the if people come out of the pier, then they enter your property, and then from the property into the MTR tunnel. There got to be some that access got to be clearly articulated as well. I think we don't want to have this, you know, confusing of drawing people into retail environments to then try to find the MTR tunnel and force them to spend money. But the you know, I think we've got to be clear about if the MTR tunnel is, and you're providing that connection, the closest connection to the piers and the PTI, you've got to be the property where people can pop indoors to get the MTR tunnel. I think they've got to be much clearer articulated and identified how that's going to be designed. And we don't, because the public is concerned about being drawn into shopping malls to just find themselves the MTR tunnel. I'm a bit concerned about the fact that you now illustrated that we have two EVAs in front of the property. One on the promenade and one immediately in front of the property. That's a lot of EVA capacity there that we can't do anything on. I'm not sure whether we can consolidate and reduce the amount of EVA and amount of land there and who's responsible for reducing that and why we have two. But I'd like to be clear. And about the outdoor seating, I mentioned I specifically referred there to the outdoor seating arrangement if permitted under the FEHD. So it means that you can serve food and drinks. I think you've got to be very clear on that. I'm not meaning tables and chairs you place for public use in the park. I mean places where I can sit and eat and drink, which means that you're subject to FEHD requirements in terms of proximity to toilets and restaurants and all of that stuff. And I think that you've got to very clearly identify that, otherwise we have problems later on. I had another point. Coach parking, I'd like to get some TD more details about that. We have seen in Tin Sha Tsui that coach parking is provided and reserved in some of the buildings, but is not being used by the tourism coaches or any of the other coaches because of the fact that the developer doesn't allow them or they charge a lot of money or whatever. So the fact that we have the spaces identified doesn't mean that they're going to be used. So I think that Transport Department got to be very clear whether this is going to be a proper cross-border coach transfer interchange, or whether we just have some coach facilities identified in the plan, and then in the future we're going to be subject to the developer whether they're going to be used or not, which that means they are not, because of commercial reasons, and the people are going to be in the street. You may take an example. I don't want to say that you look at another architect, but at a Hung Hom PTI, Rocco has put in almost kiosk-size retail facilities around the perimeter of the PTI, immediately facing the promenade area. And I think that will be successful because you have people coming out of the buses and then going into the shop, and they could wait there for buses and so on, and there's open space outside. So if you could try to figure out, even if it's small-scale operation spaces that people can operate from in the perimeter of the PTI, then you activate the waterfront, and we're not going to have a blind wall there. That I think would be a good idea. I don't want to be drawn into height versus width debate. I believe that the arguments have been made clear and that the benefits have been calculated. I just want to make sure that I've covered all the point that I wanted to make. Just on the dogs, I'm very happy you're going to have an area for a dog park where dogs are allowed to be off the leash. What I'd like to know is how people can walk with dogs on the leash and where they are allowed to walk and where they're not allowed to walk. Because under the LCSD, you're not allowed to walk your dog even on the leash on their area. I want to know from you where people are allowed to walk with the dog on the leash, and which area off the leash, and which area no access of dogs. And I think we've got to be very clear. Post-meeting is fine.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alan, if you'd like to respond.
All right, let me try. PYS, the area to the east, yeah, I mean, we see this as an area of congregation, public open space. There is a plaza there and one of the larger droplets that I was explaining earlier, and it will provide a major access space to the development to the west that you alluded to, which is a proposed hotel development that's to be developed at some later date by another party. The location also provides a shaded space for seating, and it also provides a location for the relocation of trees that are currently along the promenade that are perhaps not in great condition but can be transplanted. It was a very good point about circulation from the ferry piers and general circulation through the site. Clearly, we will be providing very extensive shade tree planting, but yes, there has to be provision for shelters of some sort to avoid, as has been said, these ubiquitous glass-topped or perspex-topped shelters. We are looking into that, so that will have to occur, because clearly government's going to be looking at that anyway. So yes, that will be addressed. Yeah, the MTR access is always a thorny issue. There has been discussions on that, and it certainly does have to be well integrated with the development. That does have to be addressed. The EVA cannot be reduced. We have very strict EVA requirements in terms of our brief. We have the EVA for firefighting purposes along the northern frontage of the development and indeed along the east. And then there's the EVA required separately, and I say separately, along the promenade. We've got no choice in the matter. We've had extensive discussions. You'll be happy to know that we avoided the bicycle track that was initially required per LCSD, which would have consumed a considerable amount of the promenade and made it a more harder space than it is under our scheme, which achieves the greening requirements. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Paul, about the seating permitted for FEHD. Clearly, that has to be addressed in the development of the scheme in terms of alfresco dining and so on. It is an important issue, and that will be taken into account. The coach parking requirements are a requirement of the brief, and we try to address them in the best way possible. I know what you're talking about at Chim Sa Choi East. I've had some dealings with that particular development, and yeah, it has to be avoided, but hopefully Transport Department can provide you with more detail on that. Retail around the PTI. Well, the Planning Department has asked us to achieve retail along the southern edge of the site along Java Road with a view to activating that edge, and we've squeezed it in. Now, the footprint of the PTI is huge. It's an enormous development, and to be honest, it's very difficult to squeeze in anything more along the edge. to get the layout that Transport Department want and to provide more retail along the edge is extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible. We would have to compromise retail somewhere else, and I don't see how we can do it with the requirements that Planning Department have given us. As regards the dog access, yes, your point's well taken there. It's, as is being indicated to you now, it goes around the eastern side of the site and then into the dog park, which, as I mentioned earlier, is an enclosed space. No. Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay. Alan, anything else you want to say? Comment?
No, I just think we've really made the best out of what we can in this development. If you look at the notional scheme and our comparison that was shown to you earlier, you know, we've got a really exciting scheme here that maximises publicly accessible open space and attempts to respond in the best possible way to the requirements that the Commission has set out in their own planning brief for the waterfront. We've paid very close attention to that in the development of the schemes. You know, this has been a long process. It's a long design process we've been through, and we feel that we've come to perhaps the strongest scheme we possibly can, given the environmental and other constraints, and never mind the constraints of the brief that have been placed upon us. So I leave that with you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think clearly what we see before is it is a very significant improvement on the baseline scheme. I don't think any of us would disagree. I think most of the issues we picked up probably relate to detailed design. They're about people circulation, dogs, seating, etc. I think these are issues that you can hopefully address when you come to refine the design, the detailed design. I sense there is one ongoing concern, and that is about visual permeability. Not visual impact from the water, but visual permeability from the rear. I think this is something that, if possible, you might want to revisit, see if we can improve the situation for those at the rear of the development. They are going to find themselves, I think, somewhat cut off by what you propose to do. But I think, generally speaking, my sense is we recognise the work that's gone in. We see it as a significant improvement. Work to be done on detailed design, which and perhaps you could take away. I mean, a lot of, I think, constructive comments from the task force, which I think we'd like you to feed in as you take the scheme forward. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. We take on board the comments and we appreciate the comments that the members have made. And obviously, as you say, detailed design is yet to come and we can take up the points at that stage. Thank you.
Right. And then I think just so far as the harbour unit is concerned, I think there are a couple of areas that we need to take up directly with TD. One is this issue of coach parking, and maybe they can come back with, on that either at the next meeting or in writing. And then also the traffic situation that's going to pertain post the completion of this development, and is there any, have they thought about widening Java Road or not? And is that an issue so far as they're concerned? I think those are two things we can take up direct with TD. Okay, Alan, thank you very much. Thank you.